the grace that is Christ's gift to us, the love of God and the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace be with you all. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, your Son gives himself as living bread for the life of the world. Fill us with such a knowledge of his presence that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life to serve you continually through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live. And walk in the way of insight. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 34 responsively. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. Come, children, and listen to me. I will teach you reverence for the Lord. Your tongue from evil and your lips from lying words. Reading from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A few years ago, there was a very popular book that a lot of folks read and talked about called The Shack. William Young in that book tells his story of meeting God in person. And that personification of God was one of the most intriguing aspects of this book. To be honest, I did not much care for his description of the feminine aspect, the feminine spirit of God. Every time Young mentioned or had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, I kept picturing Tinkerbell. I think that the image of the feminine spirit of God that I like much better is presented in the book of
Proverbs, this first reading that we heard this morning, this Lady Wisdom, or if you like the Greek, Sophia. I picture Lady Wisdom, the Holy Spirit, looking more like Rosie the Riveter than Tinkerbell. She is the wisdom of God. She is one with God at creation. She worked with God in the shaping of the universe. She hung that cosmic drywall. She was the creative heartbeat of God's plan. Lady Wisdom instructs us about our place in the universe. She teaches us about God. She instructs us about where we are in the universe, our place of honor, balanced with humility beneath the Creator, the Almighty God. Wisdom constructs her house on seven pillars. Seven. Whenever you read that number in the Bible, you know that this is God's favorite number. Seven is the sign, the number of completion, totality. This shows that Sophia has built her house, the world, according to God's blueprints. And then she puts on her apron and starts preparing the feast. She cooks, she mixes the wine and pours it out, not too much, but just enough. She puts out the finest china, the polished silver, the candles are lit, the flowers are arranged. And then she goes out with her servant girls and invites to the banquet. All are invited. All are welcome. This is the feast of the wisdom of our God. This is the feast to which we are invited. Take and eat, for this wisdom feast is given for you. This food is always delicious, always nutritious, never fattening. This is the feast that will fill you with God's wisdom. Hear that invitation. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. First, we eat and drink, and then we understand. First, we eat, and then we gain insight. Lady Wisdom offers the food that brings true life. She encourages the people of God to choose her offerings over those of foolishness. And this theme is continued in this letter to the Ephesians. The writer there cautions against overindulgence, which he associates with immaturity. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. By this eating and drinking, we are, according to the letter to the Ephesians, transformed. We are transformed from foolishness to understanding, from debauchery to living and being filled with the Spirit. And did you notice in this that the transformation happens as we are eating and drinking? As the eating and drinking is taking place, the transformation is happening. How wonderful that we had little Andrew baptized this morning so we could see this theology, this truth, this faith in action. What extraordinary promises and claims are made at this font and at this table. Now, many of us were baptized as children or as infants, when we could not possibly come to understand what God was doing in making us the precious children of God. And yet, understand or not, we are God's children through baptism. And now in this meal, this great mystery, We receive something that nourishes us, strengthens us, permeates us, changes us with no turning back, bringing us to that point where we begin to discern, however dimly in this earth, that our host is truly God, that the one who calls and welcomes us at this table is truly God. We eat this bread and drink this wine trusting that Christ is present, but we don't understand how. Andrew is welcomed in the waters of baptism, sealed with the Holy Spirit, trusting that Christ is present, but he doesn't understand how. I don't understand how. And I would guess that you probably don't understand how as well. But thanks be to God, it isn't about how much we understand. It isn't about what we do. God's love and mercy is poured out for us at this font and at this table. And we are invited to just receive. But we can deepen our understanding. In our Eucharistic prayer, we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We say, Christ has died. We believe that Christ is with us as the Christ of memory. In that meal, the Lord's death is proclaimed. In this meal, we remember the Lord's death. We remember that it was his broken body and poured out blood that God chose to save the world through that broken body and poured out blood. And by eating and drinking at this meal, we participate in that saving death of Jesus Christ. We say Christ is risen. We believe that Christ is with us as Christ of the present. In this meal, Christ is present. He is God with us, Emmanuel, the living word, forgiving our sin, calling us to give up our ties to the things that would hold us back from his love, nourishing us for daily discipleship. Jesus is the host at this meal, and he feeds us with his own body so that we can be his body in the world, bread for life, for the life of the world, the body of Christ for the body of Christ. And we say Christ will come again. We believe that Christ is with us as Christ of the future. In this meal, we are given a foretaste of the feast to come, of that great banquet in the coming kingdom of God. The future breaks into the present, and we get a glimpse of that coming day when all creation will be united under the reign of Christ our King. We pray, Christ has died, and remember the Christ of the past. We say Christ is risen, and we know that Christ is present here, now. And we say Christ will come again, and we are given a foretaste of that Christ of the future. What does it mean that we are invited to this meal? We haven't earned an invitation. Even though we are the precious children of God, we haven't earned this invitation. It is our extravagant host who's offered us the ultimate gift, his very self. And we begin to understand that that small piece of bread, that drop of wine, will fill us totally. This meal does satisfy our deepest hunger and quench our deepest thirst. What are the hungers and thirsts in your life? The heart aches for an absent love, a deceased spouse or child, a companion to share our daily activities. We long for justice and peace in the world and in our own homes. We hope for the best for our children, for their success, their happiness, their health. The truth is, we are filled with hungers and thirsts, and our life is packed with trying to fulfill those needs. We have a whole hierarchy of needs, and they insist that we look for what is lacking. We search for it. We crave it. Our heart aches for those things that are missing in our life. But underneath all of those hopes and wants and desires, mixed up with those yearnings, and deepest of all, there quietly sits the desire for God. Every human being is created with a God-shaped hole in our hearts, a longing, a need, a yearning for a relationship with God. And only God can fit into that empty spot in our hearts. Only God can feed that deepest hunger, can quench that deepest thirst, can nourish and satisfy our desires. Sometimes we settle. We settle for the foolishness that Lady Wisdom calls us away from. We settle for that foolishness that the writer to the Ephesians encouraged people to turn away from. We settle for that foolishness, but it does not satisfy in the long run. We're left wanting and yearning. We're left in need. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Lady Wisdom urges us to stop thinking that life is going to make sense if we just fill it with stuff and we forget the deepest need of our heart, which is closeness to God, and through God, closeness to others, to the body of Christ. Jesus gives us the ultimate food and drink, the most simple gift of all. Bread that is his body, wine that is his blood, broken for us, poured out for us. We eat this bread that Jesus calls true food, and drink this blood, this wine that Jesus calls true drink. And this is what is true. This is the only thing that can satisfy our desires. Only this has the promise of eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." Amen.